Morning, church. Thanks, Terry. I'll pay you later for that comment. It's always off to a good start, isn't it? Let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for your word, the encouragement it can bring, the challenge it can bring, and the wisdom it can bring to help change our lives. Thank you for this biblical character and what he can teach us, how he can shape our lives to be more Christ-like. I just ask, Lord, this morning that the words that I share would be your words, that it would be your inspiration this morning, that this would be an encouragement from you, and that everything that's shared this morning would be to bring glory to you. Amen. So this morning we'll be looking into the biblical character of Tychicus and his reference in the book of Colossians. So I'll just use a bit of a raise of hands here. Has anyone actually ever heard of the character called Tychicus? Cool. You recognise the name, that's a good start. Because I'm just putting a little bit of a disclaimer out there that while I was doing this study, I did find two different ways of pronouncing his name. So you may have heard it the other way, or the different way of pronouncing it. So that's my apologies. You're more than welcome to hit me up afterwards. So one of the main references I will be referring to is in Colossians 4, 7 and 8. So if you have Bibles handy, you can turn there. And this is what it says. Colossians 4, 7 and 8. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Now this is the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossae church as an encouragement to them, and he's sending Tychicus to present it to them, to read this letter to them. Now you can just hold your fingers on that reference point, because I will jump back a bit to get a bit more of a history about this character and a bit of background and insight into how he fits in on the overall story and his interactions with Paul. So one of the references where Tychicus comes up is in Paul's third missionary trip, which starts in Antioch and finishes in Jerusalem. Now the third trip starts in Acts 18:23 and finishes in Acts 21:17. So in verse 23, it starts right off after he finishes his second trip and he returns or leaves from Antioch, does his trip, Mesopotamia, all over the country, and then returns back to Antioch. But this one is a little different. He starts in Antioch, he goes on his mission trip, and then he returns back to Jerusalem. And he's preaching the gospel and sharing the faith and sharing about Jesus. So here is where you start getting some facts. And I think this is important to sort of highlight these facts and give you a real overview of what we're looking at and the scale of what he's actually doing. So the first stage of the journey Paul went after Antioch is Tarsus, Iconium, Ephesus, where he is believed that he had worked alongside Tychicus, and then Troas, where he carries on his trip by boat and lands in Macedonia, and then continues on with his mission trip around the area and then returns back to Jerusalem. So I did a quick Google search to get an idea of the distances between these places. And if you were to add them up, the individual cities between the different cities and travelling, it would be approximately 1,300 Ks. Which, to put it into perspective, the length of the South Island is 840 Ks. So Paul was doing some serious travel. And this was only being just the first part of his trip by land, not counting by the boat and then the rest of his trip and then his whole return trip back to Jerusalem. This is only just the first leg of his trip. The sacrifice and determination of Paul to fulfill his purpose and his mission with such passion is awe-inspiring and challenging all in the same. He had such this drive for the gospel that nothing was going to get in his way. Now that brings me to my second point, time. They didn't have any of the modern conveniences we enjoy today of fast and easy travel, of a couple of hours from flying from Invercargill all the way up to Christchurch or further afield across the world. There was none of that available. So everything would have been much, much slower and taken a lot more time. Now, I thought it was important to understand how much commitment and sacrifice of time was required to work alongside Paul and his mission. He had this passion and drive, and anyone that went with him was going to be on the same journey with him, being the same amount of time, because of his devotion to the gospel and his devotion to Christ. So that brings me back to Tychicus. Well, who was Tychicus? We know that he was from the Roman province of Asia. He is only mentioned five times in the Bible and doesn't have much more about him other than some commenters believe that he may have been a student of Paul in Ephesus when Paul was there for 3 years. So after they left Ephesus, Tychicus carried on with Paul as a fellow servant. He would have been immersed in the mission of Paul, brushing shoulders with him daily, building a friendship. He is said to have departed from Ephesus and assumed that he had been with Paul the rest of his journey. He would have been spending a lot of time with Paul, gaining a deep understanding of his passion for the gospel, love for God, and the mission. He would have most likely been at or heard of the riot in Ephesus, the sons of Sceva trying to cast out demons, Acts 19, and then Paul's imprisonment, and probably many more instances in the journey that weren't recorded. These would have been character-building, character-changing journey. Tychicus was committing to months of travelling on the road with or without Paul to the different places. This was not for the faint of heart. You had to be committed to the cause. You had to believe in the cause to be a part of this. Tychicus was an outward-focused man, devoting his time to the needs of others and God's mission at hand. He had a servant's heart. I love the wording used in Colossians 4, verse 2. And I find it fascinating that Tychicus would have most likely had a first-hand account of Paul actually writing this letter and the intent for the church, his thoughts, his feelings, the topics, and then to be the one that is actually reading to the church. He could have been sitting right beside Paul for all we know. There's no descriptions of him actually not being there or being there. So that's stretching outside the box, but to have him right beside Paul as he's writing these letters, to get a deep understanding of Paul's passion and his thoughts on the actual topics. And then to go and present these letters to the church. So this was just part of the letter that Paul wrote. And it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, to proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards others. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Now this is what Tychicus would have been encouraging the church to do, to grow together as fellow believers. I just find that amazing that this man would have been potentially right beside Paul as he's passionately writing out these and discussing his passion for God and his passion for the gospel. Now, this wasn't for everyone. We know that there is actually in 2 Timothy 4:10, there's a man called Demas. And Paul wrote and said he couldn't stick with it. The commitment was too much. It says that he loved this present world too much. So it's no easy feat. There's no easy task to be a part of this group, to be spending months apart from your community, the people you know, everyone around, to be committed to this cause. So then how does Paul, the man on a mission, the man driven to the gospel, how does he describe Tychicus? Well, one reference in Ephesians 6:21, he says he was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant. And again, back to our core verses we've been looking at, Colossians 4:7-8. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that you may encourage, that he may encourage your hearts. That is high praise for someone who is only mentioned five times. Two of those times it was his high recommendation. Sort of got me, this is slightly off topic, so I will come back, I promise I'll come back. But it got me thinking about myself. If I were to put my life into words, what would be the percentage of things mentioned about me? Would I be what I hope I am to someone around? Would I be described as this guy that is who he says he is? I found that quite a challenging thought, to think of somebody else writing about you or mentioning something to you saying, hey, this guy is who he says he is. What you see is what you get. And that's exactly what Paul's saying with Tychicus. He's saying, this is the guy. This is my beloved fellow servant in the mission. And there's another thing with this I love. These letters were not meant to be read once and for only one particular group of people. As we see in Colossians 4 verse 16, it says, after this letter has been read to you, meaning Colossae, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read that letter. Tychicus was fully dependable and trustworthy to not only deliver Paul's letters, but to also add insight into Paul's personal thoughts and feelings on the topics, and expound and encourage the church further that he was sent to. Now, I was unorganized slightly with a map. I was going to bring up a map to show you it, but actually, I think just knowing how far this guy went, 1,300 Ks in just one leg of the trip, and then the rest of these trips around, the fact that he stuck with Paul through this whole time. He took letters to Ephesus, to Colossae, a trip to Asia Minor, and potentially even to Crete. If you were to look at only look at the one of Paul's third trip on its own as a single event, it would have been an impressive trip. Some commentators even say that it may have been around that 4,300 Ks by boat and land. And here was Tychicus, faithfully serving Paul and serving God and the church, being the messenger. There was no accolades, no spotlight, no praise of men that he was this high and mighty person raised above everything else. He was simply doing what God had put in his heart to do. Now, this is where I started to take a step back, and I've been delving into the details and coming up with seeing where Paul had went and seeing where Tychicus had gone. But then I started to take a step back and sort of go, I need to take a step back from this and see this from a different angle. And I tried to imagine it from a bird's eye view. And I had a bit of a wow moment. When these letters were written and sent to encourage the church at Colossae by the hand of Tychicus, these letters were meant to be read and passed on again to the surrounding churches for continued encouragement and growth of the people. And as time has gone on, they have been continually used to shape and change the lives, and are now some of the most important God-inspired, man-written letters to ever be completed. This was a pivotal point in the history where it was not only going to change the lives of the church at the time, but these letters are still having impact today. I've learned more than what I knew about this guy previous to the last month and a bit. And these letters are having impact on me and challenging me in a whole new way. I don't believe even Tychicus would have the comprehension of the enormous impact these letters would have been on a continued global scale. The most important bits of parchments to have ever been written. And God used a willing servant. Now, I heard a provoking quote, and it got me thinking. And it says this: what you believe about someone causes you to draw near to them, but what you know about them causes you to remain near them. I'm just going to read that again, because I feel the power in that statement for me alone was just inspiring. So what you believe about someone causes you to draw near them, but what you know about them causes you to remain near them. Christ was radiating through Paul. Tychicus was that continued link to share the gospel to the world, to carry Paul's letters when he couldn't. When he was in prison and he had these letters to write, Tychicus was that faithful messenger to deliver Paul's very thoughts from God to the church as an encouragement. What a responsibility to carry. And yet, the praise that Paul says about this guy says that he was of character. So it comes back to so what? Well, what are the words that come to your mind when you think of this humble messenger like Tychicus? And what can we apply and build into our own lives? Well, the challenge it brings to me is to be dependable in every aspect of life, to be faithful to who God has called me to be, and to be that willing servant. To be what you see is what you get. I have a finishing thought that I found really encouraging, and it's Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And I think this sums it up quite well. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." May we be continued to challenge ourselves to have a closer walk with God and to be those dependable people and to grow our faith in God. Thank you.